Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning, whether it's here or on the stream. We're glad to have you. Today we're going to continue in our series called What is a Christian? Okay? This is part two of the series, and it's entitled Answering the Call. So this is all going to be out of the book of Jude. I think I told you that. But today isn't, okay? Okay, all right. Why don't you stand with me and we'll declare our Bible declaration together. Just grab your Bible, your phone, your tablet, whatever, in your right hand, left hand, I don't care. Hold it up towards heaven and repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Let's start that over. You ready? I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You got to get that change in there, you know, that little, instead of just saying, let's go. Amen? Okay. You know, I don't know if this was the case for you or not, but when I first accepted Jesus, I was told that my sins would be forgiven. Yeah? And I was told I would begin to be blessed. And life would basically be better, amen? And all of my troubles, man, they were going to disappear, okay? All the hardships, all the worries, all of them, they were going to be gone. All I had to do was pray a prayer, so I prayed the prayer. Unfortunately, that wasn't exactly what happened, okay? It wasn't really the whole truth. I mean, my sins were forgiven, and the blessing part was true, amen? But as far as everything else goes, you know, that I would have a better life, and though I do, and that all my troubles would be gone, that was far from the truth, okay? As I remember it, when I first got saved, I lost friends. Amen. Come on. I no longer had the support of these people that I thought I would have forever, and things were far from perfect. My marriage was a mess, okay? That didn't get immediately better. My finances were, well, anyway, they were challenging, okay? And my life was far from perfect. Things just weren't the way I was told they were going to be. And thank God I had some foundation, some biblical foundation, growing up in the church. So I decided to stick with this Christianity thing. I know that you've heard this before, but I'm going to give it to you again, all right? Jesus himself said this. I don't know about you, but, you know, when I see that stuff written in red, I kind of believe it. Amen? Amen. But anyway, he said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The truth is, an easy life is not promised by Jesus, but he does promise us new life. Amen? I was thrilled that I had the opportunity to start over again. Okay, being born again. And he did promise that he'd always be with us through any trial that we would face. Are you with me? Okay. You know, many believers were told the same thing as I was told at the very beginning. And when they experience even a little bit of inconvenience, okay, or a little bit of discomfort, unfortunately, it's enough to upset them and they start complaining and unfortunately they quit. Amen? How many of you know that complaining leads to quitting? Amen. Okay, come on, say that again. Complaining leads to quitting. The Apostle Paul, like you and I, had a calling on his life, a calling that he opted to answer, thank God. And he said something in 2 Corinthians 11:23, and you can turn there if you like, that's really worth looking into. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often." In this passage, Paul was speaking of what his life consisted of since he began answering the call, okay? And it certainly wasn't what I went through, but it was maybe closer to what I was told. But the truth is, if you're going to do something mighty for God, you and I, we have to throw ourselves into the call of God and do what's needed, okay? Just like Paul did, regardless of whether or not it's an inconvenience for us. And if you want to succeed in that God-given calling, and I want you to know, every single person here has a God-given calling. You may not have a call into full-time ministry like I do, but you have a call into full-time ministry outside of the church, all right? You have a call to be everything that God has called you to be. I would think at least at one time in your life, you heard what you thought God wanted you to do, amen? In my situation, I just sought him like crazy, and put out fleeces, which is probably not a real mature thing to do, but I guess he found some immature Christians to do it for me, okay? But they all came back the way they needed to, and so I answered the call. But your call is no less important, and your call is no less impacting on people than me being in the vocation of full-time ministry. This is where we are. We come here to get encouraged, amen? We come here to talk about the victories, and that's good. Maybe learn about God, I hope, amen? But your ministry outside of here is something that is the thing that'll make the church grow, plus it's the thing that'll most please God. All right. There are many people that say this, okay? Many Christians that say this. They say, God wants his people blessed. And of course, okay? Amen. You know, God wants to bless his people, but believers shouldn't start complaining, and I'm going to start meddling you here, just because they run into an attack of the devil that affects their comfort level. Amen. I mean, come on, you know? I believe a believer should always be looking for ways to answer the call that God has put on their life, whatever that entails. And so I want to look at the call of Paul this morning. Amen. And see how that affected his life, because he certainly did answer the call. Gary Timmer, could you come up here and pray, please, for the message?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are thankful that Pastor Wes answered the call. Father, as he preaches today, God, I thank you that he is absolutely fulfilling that call, God, and all the power, Lord, all the wisdom, and all the strength of the Holy Spirit. God, open up our hearts and our minds and our ears, Lord, that we would hear this. Father, for those who may be struggling of what their call is, God, I thank you that today is an answer of prayer. Father, I pray that we would just respond today in a positive way, Lord, that there would be excitement in this place today, God, and we wouldn't just sit on our hands, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gary. Have you ever, like, come into a room and it just seems kind of deflated and down? And all right, you know what? We're going to pray. I'm just going to pray that changes here this morning, because it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I'm excited about Jesus. I don't know about you. Amen? Come on. I'm saved. Are you? All right. And that's something to be excited about. All right. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, whatever is holding back your Holy Spirit from manifesting itself, God, I pray right now, God, that it would be gone in Jesus' name. All of these people here this morning are agreeing with me. We want to feel your power, your presence, God. We just want to know you're here, Lord. We know what your word says and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. But God, I pray that we would feel that today. Lord, may every word that I speak, God, as Gary prayed, would it be anointed? But Lord, I would pray also for the people that they would be anointed to hear, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that this comes out the way that I the way that you gave it to me. In Jesus' name. And everybody with all their heart believed it and said, amen and amen. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was just like the epitome, if you will, of what it means to be willing to do anything that's required or go through any length to accomplish what God had called him to. Amen. He's the person that most people say, besides Jesus, that they want to be most like him. They want to be just like the Apostle Paul. Well, I don't know, you know, I would love to be like the Apostle Paul, but I don't want to go through what he went through. Come on. Come on. Amen? See, this is a true statement. If you're going to fulfill, I knew that was going to happen. If you're going to fulfill your God-given destiny, there's going to be a struggle against the same forces that Paul was fighting. You know, if you're a visitor today, I'm not going to apologize, but let's bow our heads, okay? All right. I think that we're going to switch directions, okay? Okay. To me, it gets quite obvious that the Lord is trying to talk to me when I can't talk, if you know what I mean, when I can't get it out. But I'm sure a lot of you have heard this scripture, okay? And it's in Jeremiah 29, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, that I was reading in the book of Matthew. And again, it was talking about seeking the Lord, you know, seek him, you know, knock, seek. And I thought, yeah, I do that. But really when it came down to it, the Lord convicted me and basically said, yeah, Wes, you're going through the motions. You're not really seeking me. You know, I'm praying every day, of course. I'm reading every day. But how many of you know that can become too much of a habit? I mean, it should be a good habit. I mean, it's a religious habit you should have. But the actual motions of that get to be, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
And he began to convict me of that. And then he began to speak to me about seeking his face and what it was going to take. And, I mean, I knew that, right? I've been a Christian. How long have I been a Christian? 94? 40 years. Anyway, I'm going to ask you that question today. And out of Jeremiah, you know, it says, "And you will seek me and find me." How many of you seek? How many of you have found him? Good. All right. Every day. How many of you are able to overcome the ebb and the flow that we have as Christians? At one moment we're on fire for God and we think that I'll never quit praying, you know. And then we ebb and we don't. We quit praying. You know what I'm talking about. You know that. And God promises us that we will find him if we seek him. But what else does he say in Jeremiah? Yeah, what does it say? Yeah, with all your heart. How many of you would say right now and would be able to raise your hand if I was to say to you, are you seeking the Lord with all of your heart? How many want to raise their hand to say that? And I think that's, and so many times when things happen to me, it's because the Lord wants to get something to everybody. And that, I guess I, if I was you, I would ask myself the question, am I really seeking? And the answer isn't, well, I'm praying every day. Well, I'm reading every day. That isn't the answer. It's part of it, but it's not the answer. You know, when I do seek him, do I try to do the things he's asking me to do for the day? Does God ever ask you to do something for the day? Amen. Well, you see, what would happen right now, okay? And like I said, if you're visiting with us, this isn't what we normally do. Well, maybe sometimes. Yeah, I know. What if I opened the altar right now, would you be able to come up here and seek the Lord for the next 37 minutes? Some of us go, yeah, it's not so hard. Some of us go, 37 minutes? Sometimes it takes me longer than that to find him, okay? I mean, he's not hiding from me. It's me who isn't, you know, in the place that I should be in. And if I did open the altar, would it be really uncomfortable to be up here for you? I can understand it if you don't, if you're someone here that doesn't know everybody. But would it be uncomfortable for you to be there that long? I don't mean physically. I mean, because it's kind of hard to kneel when you get my age, but I think a lot of us have gotten confused over the time that we got saved to today. And we've gotten confused about why we're seeking the Lord. I don't remember who said it this morning. Well, I think it was Weston. You said, I got to get this right. God wants you to know him. But God wants to know you. And the only way he's going to know you is by you spending time with him. And you know, I hate to be the preacher that always, you know, hangs on, read, pray, worship. Then when you get done doing that, worship, pray, and read. You know, then the next week I'd have one more sermon. But listen to me. When you first got saved, if you're anything like me, your life was a mess.
Amen.
Okay? And then somehow God took your mess and just made it something special. My marriage was gone. And 40 years later, it's not. So, at the times in your life when you're grateful, which I know, we're also grateful all the time, aren't we? But the times in your life when you're grateful because God has done something for you, it's not hard to seek the Lord. I mean, it's great. I mean, you feel his presence. But somehow, I should say this, and in those times, you're seeking God so much that it's like he's starting to know you, and you know him, and then you back off. But God wants you to know him, and he wants him to know, wants you to know his name. But he wants the opportunity to know you. Well, he knows me, he made me. No, he wants you to go through the process of trying to be or to make a connection with him. And I know this isn't probably anything like you expected to have on a Sunday morning. It's not what I expected to preach. It's not what I expected to be the focus, okay? But I think it wouldn't be a bad thing for us as a church, and everybody, if you're here today anyway, or listening online, I don't think it'd be a bad thing for us to clear up the confusion. Because we seek God so often for our benefit. Come on. But what would it be like to be seeking God for his benefit? I think we've gotten confused why we pray. Not all of us, some of us. Like I've told you before, you know, today might not be for you, but just be patient. I'll get you sometime, okay? But the only way to clear up confusion is to go to the Word of God, and the only way to clear up confusion is to go to prayer. And then what you think you hear in prayer better line up with the Word of God. The confusion comes in all of our lives when things don't go the way we want them to. You know? And as stupid as this sounds, the guy who's working on a car drops a wrench, and guess who gets in trouble for it? God. The woman who's baking a pie and it burns, who gets in trouble for that? Besides the husband. The guy. You know, our God does. And we blame things on God. And what we don't understand, and it's like that we don't remember, we don't appreciate any longer what God has done for us. God has done more for us. He's done for us what we could never do for ourselves. And I would just like to, and I don't know if I'm going to bring it to a close right away or not. It'd be so good if every one of us would take today, the next few minutes today, when we get to that point, and remember what God took you from, clear up the confusion, are you with me, as to why you're seeking God. I should throw this in. There's nothing wrong with seeking God and praying for yourself. But there's a bigger kingdom than that. Okay? And I think it's important that we become a part of that bigger kingdom. Amen. Now I just for the next few minutes, praise team, why don't you come back up to the instruments? You know, I should have known this. I should have known that God was going to change things. The Holy Spirit was, because last night I couldn't settle with the message. I had a hard time all yesterday. I had trouble this morning. Not trouble, but you know. You know. Listen, this is what I'd like you to do if you're comfortable with this, just for the next few minutes. And I'm not saying that I'm done, but I would like those of you who can, just respond to the altar this morning, right now. And just come and kneel before the Lord, stand before the Lord. I don't care how you do it. Do it like you would do it at home, okay? And if you don't know what that is, you should start something today, okay? So I'm going to open the altar, just for this time, for you to come up here and just to kneel before the Lord. And take a moment to remember, and then we're going to praise him, all right? So it's open. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that those who have grabbed a hold of how grateful they should be for what you've done, I pray they'd clear the confusion starting right now today. And I pray, God, that they wouldn't just go through the motions. I pray, God, that they would absolutely seek you with all of their heart. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody who's grateful for what the Lord has done for them said amen. Say amen, 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 amen. Why don't you take just a couple minutes before we close? We're going to have communion. But why don't you just begin to thank the Lord for those things that you just remembered? Amen? Begin to thank Him for what He's done, for what He's going to do in your life, for taking you from where you didn't think you'd ever be able to get out of and putting you where you needed to be. Just thank Him. Thank Him right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.